So, some of you might recall a famous poem that will sound similar, but this has been rewritten for Jesus. Are you ready? All right, so, can you guys see okay? 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the land, not a creature suspected that God became man. So hear now the story that tells of God's grace. Long ago was the time, and Bethlehem was the place. People were coming from miles around to register in this quaint little town. They had to pay taxes. It was Caesar's decree. But God had a plan to save you and me. The town was asleep. The streets were all bare. No one knew that two travelers soon would be there. The man was called Joseph. His wife was Mary, plus one yet unborn that God told her to carry. And then they arrived in the dark of the night. There was only one place that still had a light. While Mary sat patting her soft little mound, Joseph went to the inn, but no room could be found. There's a place in the stable, the innkeeper said, with plenty of straw for making a bed. So Mary and Joseph settled down in the stall as their eyelids grew heavy and started to fall. All of a sudden, there arose such a clatter. Joseph woke from his sleep and asked, "What's the matter?" Her time was upon her. It wouldn't be long for the birth of our Savior, so helpless yet strong. And then it was over. His cry split the night, and our darkness was driven away by his light. The heavens were opened to mark this event, and glorious angels from the Father were sent to shepherds attending their flocks in the night who didn't expect this incredible sight. An angel who lit up the sky with his glory delivered the news of the wonderful story. Hi, honey. I will go by my mom. Okay, you can go by your mom. Sounds good. Oh, you might have to go. Oh, there's Rai Rai. Don't be afraid, the angel proclaimed. A Savior is born, is how he explained the news that he carried from heaven to earth of God's special plan for this child's birth. The night then exploded with angels on high, giving glory to God as they flooded the sky. Let's go into town, the old shepherd said, expressing a thought going round in his head. The things we just heard would be something to see, so he beckoned his friends and he said, "Follow me." In a stable they found, as the angel has said, an old wooden manger being used for a bed. The cattle were lowing while he slept on the hay. The shepherds crept closer to see where he lay. Wrapped oh so tightly in swaddling clothes, all you could see were his eyes and his nose. Mary, now resting, was happy to share that all took place under God's tender care. How this miracle happened and how the die had been cast, a virgin with child foretold in the past. She said, "Call him Jesus. He'll save us from sin." Then silence befell them as awe settled in. The shepherds were moved by all they had heard, so they went on their way, gladly spreading the word. And as they were leaving, the night echoed again, "Peace on earth, goodwill to all men." So that's a pretty crazy story, right?
So adults, what's your favorite thing about Christmas? I mean, you guys need to participate a little more like the kids. The kids are a favorite, I heard that. What about Christmas parties, cookies, Christmas traditions? Anybody love the presents? Raise your hand. All right, yes. Some honest adults in here, that's good. For me, one of the favorite things about Christmas, Rachel said it, but it's the lights. There's something that is beautiful about lights at Christmas time. It's probably why you see them decorated everywhere, why we have contests of who has the most lights on their house this time of year. There's something that's filled with wonder, joy, peace. There's something that is just about Christmas lights. I don't know if you agree with me. It takes us back to a time, I think we can tend to take advantage of lights, right? This is something that we are used to. It's in all of our houses. You can turn them on with a flip of switch or even just walk in a room and they magically turn on these days. But it wasn't about till the 1930s that most homes in America had lights. Like, do you believe that? That there was a time, some of you may remember that, a time when not every home had lights. I grew up, every place had lights in it. So it's something that I think we could take advantage of. So I want you to think of a time. Have you ever been in a place where there was no light? For me, it's only been a couple places. One was in a cabin in the mountains of Colorado. You couldn't see anything in front of you. It was so dark in the cabin. The other was when I was camping in the Boundary Waters, up where there's no light pollution, there's no lights anywhere, there's no cell phone service, and it's just complete and utter darkness when the clouds cover the moon. Have you ever been in a place of total darkness? Have you experienced darkness like this? There's something about darkness that produces anxiety in us. There's something that gets anxious in us when we can't see which way to go. Fear creeps in when all around me is complete darkness. The kind of darkness that, like, you can't even see your hand in front of your face, right? It's dark, dark. It's hard to have hope in the darkness. It's hard to have joy in the darkness. It's hard to have love in the darkness because darkness has a way of collapsing us in on ourselves, letting fear and anxiety and worry and dread take over. Have you ever watched a small child run down or walk down a dark hallway? They don't walk, they run, because you never know what's in the middle of the hallway that might get them, right? Well, the backdrop of the Christmas story is darkness. We've been talking about it for weeks, but it's darkness all over the Christmas story. We see Elizabeth and Zechariah, they were not able to have kids, even though they served God with their entire lives. Darkness. We see Mary and Joseph. They're engaged to be married, and they have their whole lives ahead of them. I'm sure they have the story laid out, the house they're going to buy, how many kids they're going to have, what they're going to look like when they're older, and then something surprises and interrupts their entire little fairy tale, right? They both struggle a little bit, but we see them live into faith and be obedient to the angels and to God's greater story. And then there's the larger story of the Jewish people, that at this time in the day of Jesus, they lived in an oppressed land. To put it into modern times, maybe just give a little picture, they lived in a land where their ideology didn't match the sitting administration. They were treated horribly by Romans. They were heavily taxed. They were poor. They were taken advantage of. They did not live in good conditions. And they were waiting for their Messiah. They were waiting for the one that was going to save them, just like God saved them back in Exodus. We're waiting for that Messiah again. And on top of all that, they had a ruler that was a Roman ruler that was borderline insane. They heard about a potential king being born from the wise men. And so he put in a plan that he was going to try to take out the king before he could grow up. Darkness all over the Christmas story. It's the backdrop. Well, what darkness do you and I face in our lives? What would we call darkness today? Maybe it's something that we look out into the world and see. Maybe it's a personal thing that we wrestle with. But what is the darkness that we wrestle with? About 700 years before Jesus, there was a prophet named Isaiah. And the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of Israel, God's people, were stuck in exile. Mainly because they did not listen to God. They gave over to worshiping other idols and other things that weren't God. They were chasing after everything except God. And so the prophet Isaiah was sent to this people to speak on behalf of God. 700 years before Jesus was born, and Isaiah had a constant message of light. So in Isaiah 9:2, Isaiah says, as he looks out at this vision, as this prophecy over the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. 700 years, God is sending a message to his people. A light is coming. Wait for it. Be patient for it. Isaiah 9:6, for us, we get a glimpse of what this light will be like. For us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And later on in the book of Isaiah, he has this to say, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people, a light for people. This is kind of the prequel to the Christmas story. And then we have the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, 4 through 7. We read about the birth of Jesus. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married with him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for them in the inn. There's an alternative Christmas story in the Gospels, and John has kind of his unique take on that story. John chapter 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind, and the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome the light. That word life in the Greek means the fullness of the life of God. So this take, John's take on Jesus, was that this was the Word coming down, becoming human, moving into our neighborhoods to be the light, to show us the kind of life that God wants to live, that we can live through Jesus. And then throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus living this kind of life, showing us this is the kind of life that you are invited to live. This is the kind of life that I want you to live. See, the light and the darkness cannot overcome it, and Jesus became flesh and moved into our neighborhood, and we saw glory with our own eyes. See, throughout Scripture, the beauty of the Christmas story is throughout Scripture, there is a barrier between God and humanity as a result of sin and brokenness. And Jesus is breaking that barrier. It's God coming close to us. It's Emmanuel, God with us. God with you and I. There's also this theme of light through the Scriptures. It's why we do things like light candles. It's symbolic. But the theme of light throughout Scriptures, it begins in Genesis, continues on in Exodus, and we see kind of the climax of the light theme throughout Scriptures in Jesus. And then we see the culmination in Revelation 21. Where John writes that a city comes down, heaven comes down and fills earth. And there is no more pain, no more grieving, no more weeping, no more pain, no more struggle. And there is a light that shines on the city. That isn't the sun. That isn't the moon. It's the light of God. See, you and I, through the Christmas story, are invited to follow and partner with Jesus, to be part of this grand and beautiful story. I don't know where you're at with Jesus tonight. I don't know if it's he's somebody you've been following or somebody that you once knew something about but then haven't talked to him in a long time. I don't know where you're at, but wherever you're at, we get an opportunity to follow and partner with Jesus, to become part of this grand and beautiful story that God is putting together. See, as we follow Jesus and make Jesus the center of our lives, Jesus says that we become the light. As we abide in Jesus and make him the center of our lives, he gives us the Holy Spirit. This is Emmanuel, God with us. To be in us, for us to walk in, for us to live by, the Holy Spirit strengthens us, transforms our minds and our hearts, and leads us in love and grace, giving us hope, love, joy, peace that, simply put, the world has a hard time understanding. And Jesus says in Matthew that if you follow me, if you live this way and make me the center of your life, you are the light. You are the salt of the world. Now, there is still darkness, right? Like, you don't have to look very far. And you see darkness in our world. You don't have to try even. And you see darkness that starts to fill our world. See, there's discussion over politics. There's judging and condemning others. There's culture that is driven by the idea that if I can just have this, or drink this, or watch this, I'll be satisfied. There's a personal darkness that we contend with. There's a depression. There's our identity, and where do we get it from? How do we get it? How do we live it out? There's anxiety. There's busyness. There's our own egos, and it all tends to choke out the life that we want to live. And then there's still brokenness in our world and sin. There's still suffering in our world. There's pain in our world. Satan is still prowling around like a lion, looking to steal life. You can turn off the lights. Because in the midst of this darkness, Jesus says that you are the light of the world. I've made you to be the light. I've made you to shine brightly. Let your good lives shine before others so they may see who I am. Jesus says, I am the light. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will be the light. And this light shines through the darkness. It doesn't matter how dark it gets. When you center your lives on Jesus, the light, God's light, shines through the darkness. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once in darkness, and now you are in light in the world if you follow Jesus. So live as children of the light. That means that we resist the darkness in our lives. The anxiety, the worry, the depression, the addictions, the busyness all become warning lights on the dashboard where Jesus invites us to take a deeper look for healing and freedom in and through him. Light is also the demonstration in the world of who Jesus is. See, as darkness happens, Paul says this, Philippians 2:15, as you follow Jesus, as you give your life to him, as you center your life on Jesus, as you abide in him and depend on him, he says this to the church, he says, you will shine like stars in the sky among the people as you hold firmly to the word of life. And so even though there's a little bit of darkness, there's still light beaming through, lighting up the room. See, Jesus invites us to follow him, to give him our lives. He says, I am the light for your life. So as you follow me, step into your neighborhood, into your community, into our nation, into our world, and step into the digital worlds and be the light. I want to pray for us as our worship team comes up and leads us, continues to lead us in worship. But I want to invite you, if you don't know this Jesus, and you want to follow him, all you have to do is say tonight, I want to follow you, Jesus. And then take the next steps. Jesus is inviting all of us to center our lives on him, to get to know the light of the world. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we come to you this Christmas night and we celebrate you, what you have done. We celebrate what you're doing currently in our lives. We celebrate what you will do. You are the light of the world. You moved into our neighborhoods to show us that. And you continue to move throughout the world in your spirit through us and in us as we follow you, to show the world who you are. You continue to be our strength and our hope and our peace and our love, Jesus. We thank you. In your holy and precious name, we pray. Amen.